Following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth. Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show. Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows? Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Truth, the half-truth, and nothing of the truth. Veritas News, now with Sal Manella.
Good evening, this is Sal Manella with the Veritas News. President-elect Donald Trump, citing the Russian government's flexibility to have its leader, Vladimir Putin, change titles from president to prime minister back to president again, seeks congressional permission to become His Highness Donald Trump, King of the United States, in 2020, thereby circumventing any need for costly election campaigns and conspiracies with foreigners to steal the election. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan called the idea ludicrous, deplorable, and unconstitutional, but then agreed to have Congress go ahead and move forward on the idea. Trump insiders say Putin's recent praise for Cuba's fallen leader Fidel Castro has irked Trump into a fit of anger, which some say is what's prompting the president-elect to seek the crown in 2020. Some say he's jealous of Castro because his fellow dictator Vladimir had attended Castro's funeral in full formal attire, including Putin on a top hat. Trump sent a message to Putin asking the Russian president not to mourn the loss of the fellow dictator of Cuba, saying, quote, "You'll have a new dictator friend just 90 miles away. And the best dictator, well, maybe the second best, you're the best, Vlad," end quote. Meanwhile, Republican Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Lehtinen of Florida said, quote, "Now that the tyrant is dead, a new day is dawning for the oppressed Cuban people," end quote. Hearing this, Trump became even more irate, saying, "I'm not dead, and I never had anything to do with the people of Cuba. It's the people here in America I'm oppressing. I tried to open a casino in Havana. Yes, was I there? I don't recall. Anyway, we in America will have nothing to do with what Congresswoman Ross-Lehtinen is suggesting," end quote. What the Floridian has suggested was for Cuba to be, quote, "free, democratic, and prosperous," end quote. Recent uncovering of Trump tweets has revealed that he tweeted, "Baseball is rigged. I won the World Series. All the polls said I did." The revelation of that tweet and Trump's attempt to have Dictionary.com delete the word kleptocracy, which means rule by thieves, has led many people to believe that he's insane. More on that from Keith Olbermann in a moment. This has been Sal Manila with the Veritas News. Now back to Tom Savino in Savino Veritas.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
We're ready. We're ready. Yeah, we're ready.
California, land of fantasy and make-believe. It's Savino Veritas. Featuring host, writer, humorist, experiential mystic, raconteur, and parallel parking expert, Tom Savino. Now, here he is with Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, Tom Savino.
Please, please don't take this personally, but ho, ho, ho. And what is with the upside-down Christmas trees? Is this a thing? Is this a thing? It shouldn't be a thing. But it is. I see them for sale. Upside-down Christmas trees. As if our world isn't crazy enough. As promised by Salmonella, here's Keith Olbermann talking about crazy.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. More than 36 hours after Donald Trump revealed the full extent of his disconnect from reality, the jaw-dropping, terrifying moment in which the president-elect of the United States of America publicly stated he believes the election was still rigged against him even though he won it. And we still await the first serious, sober discussion in our nation's media about the exact dimensions of and the exact nature of Mr. Trump's desperate psychological impairment. This has long since transcended politics. This has long since transcended diversions from his corruption or from the FBI or from foreign interference. This is not left versus right, nor liberal versus conservative, nor alt versus inclusive, nor any of the excuses that newspapers and television made Sunday and Monday in hopes of preserving the political media complex. This is not funny, and this is not ego, and this is not, oh, he just speaks his mind. This is an existential threat to the United States of America. The president-elect, Donald Trump, is manifestly, profoundly, and dangerously psychologically imbalanced.
Is there no one else? Is there no one else?
You don't want this kid into the wrong hands.
The sooner we acknowledge this, the greater the chances we have of averting a disaster which could threaten the safety of every American, indeed of everybody on this planet. The sooner those around him acknowledge this, the greater the chances they have of not being remembered by history, if there is a history to remember them, as enablers to a cataclysm in which the most powerful military arsenal in the history of the world was placed under the control of a man with no control over himself and his hair trigger, childish, petulant, peevish, vengeful, hateful, poisonous temper.
You're not much of a bargain, you know. You're conceited and thoughtless and messy.
The sooner those who plan to be in his government acknowledge this, the greater the chances they have of summoning the support from all political quarters before it is too late to do anything constitutional about it. A Mike Pence presidential administration is far from the list of my 100 preferred options, but right now I cling to it as the only realistic prospect of saving ourselves from an insane commander-in-chief. A sane man does not, on a Wednesday, promulgate a video in which he claims that it is prayer that we begin to heal our divisions and move forward as one country, and then on a Saturday insult the losing party as badly defeated and demoralized. A sane man does not acknowledge the end of a long and bruising political campaign, and that emotions are raw and tensions just don't heal overnight, and then 3 days later brand a fully legal recount, the right to which he repeatedly reserved for himself not a month earlier, as a, quote, scam, and then a day after that insists there was serious voter fraud in three states that the media isn't reporting. A sane man does not invoke Lincoln and a great national campaign to rebuild our country at 1 hour, and then 96 hours later insist, I won the popular vote if you deduct the millions of people who voted illegally. These are not words of sanity. These are the rages and the boasts and the madness that we have seen throughout history. Saddam Hussein, Mussolini, Fidel Castro, Mao Zedong, Stalin, Pol Pot, Bin Laden, Hitler.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
If there are still doubts about what we face and how our hands are tied just a little more tightly every day.
Welcome Fantasy Island.
If there needs to be debate about how sick this man is, whether this is treatable neurosis or an illness brought on by a physical calamity or injury or full-on malignant narcissism or paranoia or psycho or sociopathy, so be it. We may still have time for a national dialogue about exactly what is wrong with him. But in pronouncing, after arguably the greatest upset in American electoral history, that he would have won by more because the vote was still rigged against him, Donald John Trump has made it inarguably certain that there is something desperately wrong with him.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
And he is not psychologically fit to assume the presidency next January 20th.
If I may be so blunt, who gives a shit?
Resist. Peace.
And therein lies the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Who gives a shit? Half of the people in this country don't give a shit. Fortunately, the majority do. We do give a shit, and we're taking it to the streets. But there was a time when this whole Trump fiasco was seen as a joke. In fact, there's a congressman, Keith Ellison, from 2 years ago, who had something very interesting to say about the T-Rump.
Side of the fence who thinks that who's terrified of the possibility of President Trump, better vote, better get active, better get involved, because this man has got some momentum, and we better be ready for the fact that he might be leading the Republican ticket.
Next, I know you don't believe that, but I want to go on.
Sorry to laugh.
Next week,
you know, George, we had Jesse Ventura in Minnesota win the governorship. Nobody thought he was going to win. I'm telling you, stranger things have happened.
Well, and also, George, also.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The Gripes of Rat.
I know it's been a long time. It's been a long time, so please be patient. You know, I didn't know that Donald Trump was going to win the election. I did suspect it. Seemed like Hillary was doing well in the polls, and yet I know the whites. You guys aren't as full of surprises as you used to be. And I think I speak for all of Black America when I say that we are all praying for Omarosa. I don't even know what she's doing in the news. But America's done it. We've actually elected an internet troll as our president. And the whites were furious. We've never seen anything like it. I haven't seen white people this mad since the O.J. verdict. There's a split screen with white people on both sides. Nah, I'm not saying I'm enjoying it. I'm just saying I've never seen this before. I watched a white riot in Portland, Oregon on television the other night. The News said they did $1 million worth of damage. Every black person was watching that like amateurs. So I'm staying out of it. I'm just gonna take a knee like Kaepernick and let the whites figure this out amongst themselves. Because for us, you know what I mean? We've been here before. We've been here before. And I don't even think it's the most important thing we're dealing with, man. Don't forget all things that are going on. Shootings. What do you think about that? All these shootings in the last year. The worst mass shootings in the history of the United States. Pulse nightclub, which they said ISIS did. And then it turned out that wasn't exactly what happened. And if that is what happened, then ISIS is scarier than I thought. Because they have very deep cover operatives. Look, guys, we're going down deep for this one. I might have to get a Grindr account and jerk a few guys off and throw them off the trail. I don't think the guy was in ISIS. What happened was he pledged allegiance to ISIS before he did what he did, which is not the same as being in ISIS, you know what I mean? Like, I was gonna have sex with a girl, and right before I did it, I screamed out, Wu-Tang. That don't mean I'm in the Wu-Tang Clan. I'm just shouting Wu-Tang out. It's more shootings than I can literally count. You can't even go to the goddamn zoo without seeing a shooting nowadays. They shot a gorilla in my local zoo. And the Cincinnati police said shooting that gorilla was the toughest decision this department ever had to make. I said, well, you about to see a lot of niggas in gorilla costumes in Cincinnati. Why do we have to say that? Why do we have to say that Black Lives Matter? Now, I admit that is not the best slogan, but McDonald's already took You Deserve a Break today. And I guess it's kind of catchy because everyone else is biting it. Even the police bite it. Blue Lives Matter. What was you, born a police? That is not a blue life. That's a blue suit. If you don't like it, take that suit off, find a new job. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, if I could quit being black today, I'd be out the game. I did the next best thing. I became a rich black person. Which is harder than you think, because, you know, your life becomes gentrified. Like Brooklyn. All your black friends start moving out, and all these new white friends start moving in. You find yourself saying things to friends you grew up with that you never dreamed you'd say. I'm sorry, nigga, you can't come with us. There's only enough room in the balloon basket for four. Ta-ta. Donald Trump, he did it. He's our president. And I feel bad saying it. I'm staying in a Trump hotel right now. I don't know if he's gonna make a good president, but he makes a swell hotel suite, I'm gonna tell you that. Housekeeping comes in the morning and cleans my room, and I just, hey, good morning, housekeeping. Grab a big handful of pussy and say, you know. Boss said it was okay. Sorry about that, Lauren. All my black friends who have money said the same thing when Trump got elected. That's it, bro. I'm out. I'm leaving the country. You coming with us? Nah, I'm good, dog. I'm gonna stay here and get this tax break, see how it works out. Because that's how it is being Dave Chappelle. First time I got some money, it didn't work out like that. The most unlikely thing that happened ever was a black president came out of nowhere like, come on, everybody, let's start thinking about everyone else. Oh, nigga, I just got this money! I didn't even think it was possible. Trump went to go see Obama last week. Did you see that? Yeah, did you see Trump's face when he came out the meeting? Trump got sunned. He looked shook. Trump looked like he got shook. He probably came in there. Hi, how are you, Mr. President? Good to see you. Hello, Donald. How you feeling? Oh, God, I got to tell you, this job looks like it's going to be a lot harder than I thought. Really? It's not that hard. I mean, at least you get to be white while you're doing it. I'm just saying, I'm a little nervous. Nervous? Come on, man, relax. You haven't even met the aliens yet. It's going to be all right. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know Obama did a good job. Obama did a good job. I think we'll all miss him when he's gone. Do you agree with this? And thank God he lived to tell about it. This is the first black dude that ever heard America's secrets. And I'm happy he lived. If someone threatened our president, that is the only time that I'd want him to be stereotypically black. We'd be on the news like, an assassination attempt was carried out today on the United States president in a bizarre sequence of events. The president himself was armed, fired back, killing four people that had nothing to do with the incident. He then ripped off his shirt, screamed out Chi-Town for some reason. You know, before I go, I do want to say one thing, and this is not a joke, but I think it's important that I say this because they're marching up the street right now as we speak. A few weeks ago, I went to the White House for a party. It was the first time I'd been there in many years, and it was very exciting, and BET had sponsored the party, so everyone there was black. And it was beautiful. I walked through the gates. You know, I'm from Washington, so I saw the bus stop, well, the corner where the bus stop used to be, where I used to catch the bus to school and dream about nights like tonight. It was a really, really beautiful night. And at the end of the night, everyone went into the West Wing of the White House, and it was a huge party. And everybody in there was black except for Bradley Cooper for some reason. And on the walls were pictures of all the presidents of the past. Now, I'm not sure if this is true, but to my knowledge, the first black person that was officially invited to the White House was Frederick Douglass. They stopped him at the gates. Abraham Lincoln had to walk out himself and escort Frederick Douglass into the White House. And it didn't happen again, as far as I know, until Roosevelt was president. When Roosevelt was president, he had a black guy over and got so much flack from the media that he literally said, I will never have a nigger in this house again. I thought about that, and I looked at that room, and I saw all those black faces in Bradley, and I saw... and I saw how happy everybody was. These people who had been historically disenfranchised. And it made me feel hopeful, and it made me feel proud to be an American, and it made me very happy about the prospects of our country. So, in that spirit, I'm wishing Donald Trump luck, and I'm gonna give him a chance, and we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he give us one too. Thank you very much. We've got a great show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, A Tribe Called Quest is in the building. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
It's the Fabulous D Show.
I'm all tied up, spread eagle.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Welcome to Upper Good evening,
everyone. Hey, Steve. How are you, man? That little Lion King-ish transition, little bridge, reminds me of course, the Lion King. And I joked on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at TJ Savino, at Twitter. I joked on Twitter how names for musicals for Pence, because Vice President Pence had the stupidity or audacity or whatever, what have you, to go to Broadway to see Hamilton. And it's very hard to get tickets to Hamilton, almost impossible, but of course he knows Trump, I guess. That's how he got in. And he was able to get to see the Lion King. I mean, was able to get to see Hamilton, and was lectured, of course, on, rightly so, on how to treat Americans, not just ones who are heterosexual only, and so on. Well, of course, there was a Twitter contest going on, a little, it wasn't for a prize or anything, but people were tweeting, name a Mike Pence musical, The King and I, Jersey Boys minus Christie, Little Shop of Horrors, How to Succeed in Business with the Presidency, Falsettos, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way Out of Hamilton, Wicked, Hair, Hello Folly, The Book on Mormons, The Best Little Horror Bus in Burbank, Jesus Christ Superstar, Les Deplorables, South Pacific Partnership, The Sound of Sniffling, Hairspray, The Phantom of Democracy, Rent Increase, Fake Assassins, A Man of No Importance, You're a Good Man, Donald Trump, Anything Goes, Of the I Sing, Pal Donnie, Annie Get Your Automatic Weapons, Trans-Pacific Overtures, Beauty and the Beast, A Day in U.S., A Night in the Ukraine, Next to Abnormal, All That Jizz, The Lion King. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed musicals for Mike Pence.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Everything but trash, everything but the truth.
Humorous, writer, raconteur, mystic, and parallel parking expert. Thomas Savino, the fine wine of select gripes. Savino Veritas, live from Burbank.
I may be joking, but I'm never kidding. Join me each Thursday at 11 p.m. right here on SRN.
This is Tom Savino from Savino Veritas Radio. Regardless of how you're equipped, be it penis or clit, if you have an erection lasting more than 4 hours, let's face it, you're up all night. And if you're up all night, you should be listening to the artist D and Anne Marie on Up All Night. Catch them live each Saturday on 4 Culture Radio at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne Marie from Up All Night on 4 Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at juicetalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
That's the theme song, Dog Song Parade, from the 1970s comedy radio show Dead Air, which Frank Cotolo and I have unearthed and restored and is now available 24/7 at juicedtalk.com. It's too cool for school. And in honor of the alt-Reich and Donald Trump and his Nazi friends, here is a cut from the 1970s show Dead Air, the Master Race Record Offer. Enjoy.
Hello, I'm Adolf Hitler. Remember this? Those were the days of World War II. My war, and probably your war too. War-torn Dresden, Berlin when it was won, Alsace-Lorraine, and who could forget the Warsaw ghettos? Now you can preserve all these wonderful memories with the songs that captured entire continents. Now the people at Stalag House have put together a collection of the most beloved songs of the master race. This two-album set contains such great oldies as Spy on Your Mother for the Fatherland, Heil, Heil, the Gang's All Here, and my personal favorite, Deutschland über Alles. This was one of Eva's favorites. There's Goebbels with his first big hit, Gehring My Way. You'll get the original recording of the dance Fiora of the times, the Goose Step.
You will do the Goose Step.
All these recordings were commissioned personally by me and were recorded at SS Sound Studios. There's Rommel and the Panzers, Thanks a Lot. How are things with Mussolini? Russian to the Front. Gestapo in the Name of Love by the Supremacists, and many, many more. The price is only $19.32 for records and $19.45 for tapes. And if you act now, you'll get Poland. So remember, today the album, tomorrow, who knows? Here's how to order.
To get your Adolf Hitler album, send to Tomorrow the World, care of Martin Bormann, Argentina.
Well, that was a phony commercial. We were just kidding around. And now, here's a real Dead Air break.
And if you act now, you don't have to hear any Dead Air breaks, because you're not listening to Dead Air, you're listening to Savino Veritas. Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, the fine wine of select gripes. The gripes of wrath. Savino Veritas. Anyway, that's what you're listening to. But if you went to juicetalk.com, you could hear Dead Air without commercial breaks, and it's free, and Frank Cotolo and I, it's your happy birthday, Frank Cotolo, are very happy to bring this to you at no charge, and hope you enjoy it. Nice to hear some comments if you have it. But go to juicetalk.com to hear Dead Air, to hear this show, Savino Veritas, all the archive shows, of course, Up All Night with Anne-Marie and Artist D, and the Fabulous D Show, and of course, the very sultry Velvet Steel. You better have, you'll enjoy that show, believe me, all the shows. We are a unique bunch of broadcasters on juicedtalk.com.
Are you tired of people dying around you at your favorite Italian restaurant? Well, worry no more. And forget about it, restaurant. Forget about it. Hey, the gang of Forget About It has found the ultimate silencer and non-bloody assassinations. Hey, you never have to worry about loud sounds, gunfire, people falling over you, bloody people on top of you. Because of the boys that Forget About It have discovered a new way, a silent way of killing. For their assassination victims, they serve them Ebola spaghetti or Ebola spaghetti and meatballs. And the victims, they die silently in the bathroom. You got somebody you want out of your hair? Hey, Forget About It.
Get them a gift certificate and forget about it. But make sure you specify they try Ebola spaghetti or Ebola spaghetti and meatball or Ebola macaroni. Ebola spaghetti. No gluten-free.
Try our new baked Zika. Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath. Barfos in Brooklyn welcomes Bill the Bull Testosterone.
Hey, hello, hello Brooklyn, hello Barfos. Bill the Bull here, Bill the Bull Testosterone. Thank you, thank you. I see everybody bought two drinks already. Alright, alright, the night's still young too. Yeah, which is more than I can say for you, sir. Were you carted at the door, buddy? I'm thinking if Angela asked for your ID, you'd pull out a death certificate. Ah, just having fun with you, sir. Just having fun. Have a drink on me. Take my wine, please. I think the box that came in Boston Seal tasted a bit vinegary. Yeah, vinegary. I think that's the general state of affairs for most people now. Vinegary. That's our attitude right now, you know. We got a lot to worry about, a lot of things. Hey, Carmine, the owner here, Barfo's telling me that they have no trouble getting you people to drink the two-drink minimum early in the evening. Ever since you-know-who did you-know-what. You-know-who is Donald T. Rump. And you know what? Is convinced a walking dead like this guy who took the boxed wine to vote for him. Yeah, real sad. That's what he likes to say, sad. That's he sad, yeah. Any Trump supporters here? Oh, hey, this is Brooklyn, not Staten Island. You idiots? You're in the wrong borough. Get on your donkeys and go to Staten Island, Nick Burrow. Hey, drink up, everybody. We're drinking heavy ever since we won. Why? Fear. We're numbing our fear. Or, you are, not me. I have no fear of T-Rump. Why? I know what and who he's afraid of, if you catch my drift. If you know what I mean. If you know where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from is Atlantic City, if you know what I mean. If you catch my drift. T-Rump, man, he said he drained the swamp in Washington. The one thing the orangutan man was and is afraid of are the guys who made feds literally drain swamps for bodies and body parts. Yeah. Hey, yeah, you know that bastard Trump people joke about making Christie disappear? Yeah, they joke about Christie disappearing. Which would be next to impossible, now that I think about it. A mass of flesh so big, even that Carbonaro guy couldn't make him disappear. People joked that Trump people whacked Christie at a carjack chop shop, where they cut him into pieces, then threw him, ironically, off the George Washington Bridge. Hey, Maron, no way! Even without Christie ordering closures, traffic tie-ups just to the approach of the GW Bridge would make that impossible. They still be waiting there. By the time they got to the toll booth, that Christie corpse, chopped up or not, would smell like a beached whale. It should smell like what it looked like, I guess. Yeah, no way they couldn't have done that. For the record, if Christie hadn't personally straddled the intermittent white lines painted on the road, physically blocking two lanes of traffic to the bridge, and hadn't been holding a sign that said Bridge to Nowhere while doing it, I think he would have had a shot found not guilty. But not too much brains there. Hey, but the type of guys that Trump really fears are the guys who really got the Carbonaro effect down pat. If you know what I mean, if you catch my drift. Before that Carbonaro dude was even born. Real Jersey casino mobsters who really made guys disappear. Sometimes to be found in those real swamps that the feds really drained. Guys like Robert Labuti. Robert Labuti, high roller at the Trump Plaza Casino and soldier for John Gotti. Trump made the mistake of falling for Labuti's daughter, Edith. Robert made sure he put an end to that quick before Trumpster tried to grab little Edie's pussy. He had pussy grabbed with that Trump. Labuti knew of Trump's reputation for being a bit of a womanizing magician himself, you know, because Trump was sleight of hand. Sleight of hand. Two guys who were there with Trump and Labuti said, he was the most obnoxious, vile, disgusting, arrogant son of a bitch I ever knew. Yeah, they both said that. And they were talking about Labuti, not Trump. But you remember Trump says, I have the best words. Nobody has better words than me. I have the best words. No, Labuti has the best words. Labuti told Trump, face to face, directly, no fucking tweets. In your face, communique using the best words. Quote, if you don't stay away from my daughter, Donald, I'll fucking pull your balls from your legs, end quote. Hey, the threat there may not have been anatomically correct in accurately identifying the bodily location of Donald's, Trump's balls, but Don the Con got the message loud and clear. He backed off right away after giving Edith the gold Mercedes-Benz for her birthday. Her dad definitely didn't like the message it sent. Yeah, he was okay with the Mercedes part. But he didn't like the sound so much of the Benz, at least in relation to, let's say, a position he wouldn't want his daughter to take. Elections, presidents, elections, the presidents. You had Hillary been crude, rude, tasteless woman more in line with Trump's vulgarity. She would have amended her slogan, Stronger Together, with, and freer after I pulled Donald's motherfucking balls from his legs. And then she would have won. She would have won then. Yeah, she could have won. Yeah, Hillary, yeah. You know, if just one tough wise guy, came to Trump alone, though, face to face, and said, show us your fucking tax returns now or I'll shove every fucking 1040 long form on the East Coast up your fucking ass. We see all the things we know already. Trump's hundreds of businesses in Russia and Saudi Arabia and the fact that he's paid $0 for NYPD and Secret Service that protect the son of a bitch, all of which was paid for by us for the last 2 years and Lord knows how long. Gee, Marlon. Come on, Democrats, you must know some wise guys. I know a mobster myself, you know, but right after he'd whack a guy and make him disappear, he'd cry. He'd always cry. He couldn't stop crying for weeks. Eventually, the crying gave him away, and he was arrested for racketeering. Maybe we should get that Carbonaro guy after all. Ah, get the Carbonaro guy over here and make him freaking disappear. Well, I'll look into it. In the meantime, get Trump drunk, everybody. Get Trump drunk, everybody. Hey, this is Bill the Bold and Dr. Roney. Remember, great American cheese again.
actor Max Greenfield was on the Stephen Colbert Late Night Show, The Late Show, on CBS, and he was genius. This is a genius satire. He came on and sat by Stephen at the desk wearing a soccer referee's uniform, and here's what he had to say.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, I really did it this time.
Why, did you win the Tour de France? Why do you have a yellow jersey on? What have you done?
It's a lot of leg there. I apologize for that.
Those are called, those are...
You know what color that is? Fire engine pale. I have become, officially, a youth soccer referee.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
You know what?
Quite an achievement.
Thank you very much for that, because I've been getting booed so much lately.
And why did you do this, Max?
Well, it's interesting.
We'll find out.
Yeah, that's right. So, as it turns out, not a lot of people want to be the referee. And you wouldn't believe how much work goes into being a youth soccer referee.
No, it's a thankless job.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to take all these online courses.
Yeah.
And then I had to drive out to Redondo Beach, which is like the equivalent of you driving out to, to Queens.
Right.
And I took this four-hour seminar, at the end of which
there was...
An exam at the end.
Is there like a rule book and everything like that?
Yeah, well, I skimmed through it. There's an exam at the end, and I was positive that I had failed the exam. I was so sure that I had failed. But to everyone's surprise, including myself, I somehow passed. And I'm like, I honestly, not only did I pass,
Do you have a child, by the way?
I do. Not only did I pass, though.
Is this for your child's team?
It is. I couldn't have done better on the test. And I'm watching the results come in, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe this.
So you never thought you'd actually end up being the referee.
It was a fun bit at first. You know, my daughter got really excited about it. She plays for the Purple Pythons. Uh-huh. And,
Yeah, sure.
She got excited.
Yeah.
And then my family got excited about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, her team got excited. Their parents got excited. And then before you knew it, like, I had all of these supporters. And it was crazy. And they were embracing me in a way that I had never been embraced before.
So people were really the people. Wanted you to be the referee.
Yes, and I loved it. And... But, you know, the thing was, is I never thought I would actually become the referee. You know, I thought I'd take the test.
Sure.
I thought I'd fail. I thought I'd tell people, you know, look, being a referee is not for me. The test was rigged. Something to that. But I never thought that I would actually become a referee. Stephen,
let me ask you an important question. Let me start. Do you have any experience refereeing?
No.
Any experience with the playing field at all? Like,
no. I'm the least qualified referee in youth soccer history. I've never even played soccer before. And you know, I've been a ref for the last few weeks now, and people are losing their minds. And they're saying, he's breaking the rules. I don't know the rules. I don't know what the rules are.
But listen, you're the referee, so anything you do is now the rule. I mean, by definition, if the referee does it, it's referential. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
So when, now that you're in, do you feel like you're over your head?
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
A little bit. I mean, I can't win. The problem is I can't win in this situation, because any call I make, one side goes nuts. And you should see, some of these kids, they say some very, and the parents too, say some very mean things to me. Very mean things.
But you can't say anything back. I mean, the referee's got to stay above all that stuff.
You've
got to stay above all that stuff,
obviously. I know that I should not say anything back. I should not respond.
Right, that's
but
not...
I can't help myself.
Well, what do you do?
I'll take it home with me, and sometimes I'll just wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You don't. You tweeted the little girls?
And people keep telling me that's not what a referee is supposed to do.
Well, listen, have you talked to the previous referee?
Well, it was interesting, because from the sideline last year, I was very critical of him. I said some tough things. And it turns out, after sitting down with him, He's a great guy. And I underestimated his job and how complicated it is. And look, the Middle Eastern section of the field alone is a nightmare.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. What an achievement. What an achievement. What an achievement.
Yeah.
So do you have any thoughts on the election?
Well, you know, I've actually learned a few things.
Yeah?
From this whole experience.
Yeah? Yeah.
One, nobody wants to see me do a better job than me. Really. That's true. And if by some chance I do that, look, if I'm even a decent referee, I tell you, I will immediately declare myself the greatest referee of all time, and you will never hear the end of it. And I am so hoping that that's what happens.
Well, good luck.
Well, thank you. And I also think, you know, maybe if we were a little bit nicer to our referees, just a little bit, then more qualified people would want to be the referee. And perhaps we would... And perhaps we would be able to explain to our 6 and 7 year old children why all the most important calls on the field are being made by Schmidt from New Girl.
You can see Max on New Girl, which airs Tuesdays on Fox and on a soccer field most weekends.
Start believing.
Some have told you to dump Trump.
This is why our country's in trouble.
Self-being king, I am, I'm Trump.
I'm very highly educated.
The finest things on earth are Trump.
I know words, I have the best words.
All hail my sacred worth, I'm Trump. If you vote for me, then Trump.
I will be your champion.
So racist, maybe I'm Trump.
Oh, look at my African American over here. Look at him.
I was a poor rich kid. I'm Trump.
I alone can fix it.
Believe it or not, hard to believe.
Tremendous mud I sling, I'm Trump. You should bow to me, I'm Trump.
I alone can fix it.
You're not so dumb.
I moved on her like a bitch.
You wanna bite it time, I dump.
You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy.
I let them suck off me like some songs. They gave their best to me, I pump. Frontal and rump, gentle or thumb. Now I'll smile at me.
I am pretty pathetic and ugly. I am pretty pathetic and ugly. I am pretty pathetic and ugly. I am pretty pathetic and ugly.
Testosterone high?
Use some Tic Tac just in case they start kissing.
Use Tic Tac. But what about that temper?
Well, Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. She's a slob. She talks like a truck driver. Probably I'll sue her because it would be fun. I'd like to take some money out of her fat ass pockets.
When you're over the edge, try Temper Mints.
I have a couple of days because I like to know what I'm talking about before I speak.
Temper Mints.
Comey's flaming bag of October surprise kicked off an edifying week-long orgy of media speculation, climaxing in this bombshell.
Hillary Clinton getting a late break in the final hours of this campaign. The FBI director coming out
sending another letter to Congress. And this time he says, we looked at all the newly discovered emails. There is nothing there. There will be no indictment of Hillary Clinton based on the email scandal. The cloud of suspicion, though, is still over her head.
Oh, for f*** sake, you created the cloud. Don't let one off in our nation's elevator and stand there saying, who did that? Was it Hillary? This should have been your first clue. There was nothing there.
We can be sure that what is in those emails is absolutely devastating.
Damn, Donald missed the mark so badly on Clinton's emails, they could have been one of his casinos. You want to talk about emails instead of policy? Fine, let's do it. Thanks to a heroic transparency fetishist who refuses to tell Swedish authorities whether or not he raped someone, we already know what Hillary's staff used emails for. Things like refusing to force astronauts to listen to U2 and receiving pointless tip-offs from Donna Brazile. Oh, really, Donna? Someone at the Flint Town Hall is going to ask about Flint? Great use of a leak, dumb throat. But what about Hillary Locker Up Clinton's own emails? We looked. About a million of them are just Hillary and Huma emailing you up to each other. They clearly don't know what that means, which makes me doubt Huma ever opened her husband's laptop. We were a little scandalized to learn that Hillary can't use a printer and has her staff print everything from articles on nuclear weapons to AOL lifestyle pieces on whether love can help you live longer. Oh, Hillary, don't click on that one. It's total print bait. But what about shady emails showing Hillary doing special favors for people? Oh, we found them. Like the one where she saw a CNN story about a 10-year-old Yemeni girl who'd gotten divorced and asked her staff, is there any way we can help her? Could we get her to the U.S. for counseling and education? Typical Hillary, still pandering to the child bride vote. Then there was the email from a doctor in Haiti asking for desperately needed medical supplies. Hillary makes it her top priority to make sure he gets them by the next morning. Well, she makes her staff make it their top priority, but as I tell my assistant every day while she makes my children breakfast, that's the same thing. Thanks to WikiLeaks, we discovered the real Hillary, a somewhat tech-averse workaholic who wants people to have medicine and wants her staff to print out this television show for her. Large font, please. And now, here to perform her one-woman show, Hillary's Emails, Yes, I Am Up, please welcome Full Frontal's best new intern, Sarah Paulson.
One issue we must address Tuesday night, the future of women in the Islamic world. Here's my question. Can this new Barry, can I get a smiley face? I didn't know they were doing operations in the conference room. Can we get some details and promise new carpet? Are you up? Please print for me cook stoves, export control, visa reform. Please try to get me a copy of the Human Rights Watch report titled, We Have the Promises of the World, Women's Rights in Afghanistan. Can you give me times for two TV shows, Parks and Recreation and The Good Wife? Gefilte fish. Where are we on this? Somalia famine. Is there a text number for people to use to donate? I could publicize in speech today. Also, if you're around today, could you help me with my iPad? Please print. Please print in bigger print. Please print for me. Please print. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Sarah Paulson, everyone. Best intern ever. We'll be right back.
I so hope you enjoyed the show this evening and join us again next Thursday evening live at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at 148.ca/1 and SRN1 and 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicetalk.com. This is Tom Savino reminding you, don't trust commercials with ukuleles.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory. Raconteur, mystic, and parallel parking expert, Thomas Savino. The fine wine of select gripes. Savino Veritas, live from Burbank.
I may be joking, but I'm never kidding. Join me each Thursday at 11 p.m. right here on SRN.